Let's turn our attention to JJ. JJ Jean-Jacques Cornish is going to give us our Africa report. He knows what I want to talk about today. Bonjour, Jean-Jacques, ça va?
Bonjour, ça va très très bien, merci. It sounds like you're a very angry woman.
Je suis très triste.
But you know, refuelé. Absolument.
Ouais.
Fâché,
ouais.
I think.
Ouais.
Listen, the thing about it is why the High Commissioner won't speak to you before noon has got nothing to do with maybe second thoughts. What happens in Whitehall, not yet, not as we speak, but within 90 minutes or so, in come the pinstriped suited officials, and they sit down and they are in deep, deep committee until 12:30 South Africa, out their time, which is about... That's 2:30 South African time. But I was in London 12 years, so I know this, and I used to attend that daily briefing. You couldn't get a smidgen out of them before that. So they go into a huddle, as it were, and at 12:30 they've got the line, and then they brief the British correspondents, and then they brief special British correspondents on an additional off-the-record basis, and then they brief foreign correspondents. And basically, it's just so that they get the line as they understand it, and they don't deviate from that one little bit. But as for
he was confirmed.
Well, that's perfectly understandable.
No, he had already confirmed.
I know.
He changed it to a later time after 9. I mean, I get the context, but he had agreed to speak already, and I think he knows the process. But I think, and then he was like, "I'll speak to you closer to 9." Then it was after 9, so I'm not sure that is.
I can imagine
reason.
that he said that, and when he. And when he cleared it with Whitehall, they said, no, don't say a word until after we've completely sussed this one out. Yeah, but Refilme, to get to your anger about the lockdown, in a case like this, they would err on the side of caution.
Well, then why announce it late last night?
And I mean, Bojo has not had a good record in closing down on time and reacting emergencies. He's got a very good record on vaccination, but not on the other things. So they will err on the side of caution. And, you know, with things like travel advisories that always miff the countries that are aimed at are aimed at protecting your own citizens. And that is what has to come first, because they are the people that voted you into power and will hopefully do so again. So, yes, they will overreact, it can be said, and it might well be that in the days ahead, when they find out more, they'll say, okay, well, we can ease it. But if they are seen to be slow or in any way delaying or dithering on this, they're going to pay a political price later on. And this certainly does seem to be quite...
Yeah, okay.
Quite a variant. 32 mutations on the stem. But, it's tough. It's very tough.
UN Special Envoy to Libya. Why have they quit a month before elections?
Jon Kubis hasn't given reasons for doing this. He is not a man in any way stranger to tough posts. He was a former UN envoy for Libya, former soldier. But basically the envoy to Libya has split on reconfiguring the US mission to Libya. They wanted to transfer him from Geneva to Tripoli. Maybe that is what it was. His office has been extended until January. The elections are next month. So we're in a bit of a hiatus there. Antonio Guterres, the UN boss, is working on an appropriate replacement. Very important that they get a good man there at this vital, vital time.
Definitely so. And then in the in Ivory Coast, they want a regional response to the jihadi attacks.
Well, you know, the jihadis are moving from Burkina Faso, which is particularly bad, and Mali, and they're moving towards the Ivory Coast. More and more attacks there. Ivorian troops have been in joint exercises with the 50-nation ECOWAS, Economic Community of West African States. And France and the United States have agreed to pitch in. France is doing training, and the United States is spending $20 million to reduce, quotes, the allure of extremism for the young. I don't know if it's an allure so much as an act of desperation. When people have nothing else, when their family goes hungry, the word of the jihadis, I've seen this happen in Algeria, word of the jihadis suddenly sounds very, very delicate, you know, very, very delicious, and people move in that direction. So they want to, they've got to improve socioeconomic situation in order to make it tougher for the jihadis to actually draw the youth in.
Yes. Mm. And then in the DRC, it becomes the seventh member of the East African Community. DRC has it good all the way around.
Well, yes, you know, Refilwa is very funny. At the time, way back when the DRC became a member of SADC, you know, I said, oh, wow, that's an odd situation. Again, I was at a summit in London where they brought the Russia in on sorts of things and said, well, you know, once you do that, this is a country with enormous problems. You bring it into the camp. Those problems become your problems. Well, I think on DRC, I was proven wrong. I think they've been a valuable member of SADC, and one certainly hopes that they will be a valuable member of the East Africa community. Tanzania, Burundi, Rwanda, Uganda, and South Sudan are already neighbors, literally physical neighbors of the DRC, and the sixth member of that, Kenya, is of course a very important country. I'm sorry we're not talking more about the Kenyan president's visit. It was very interesting and very important. But so we hope that the DRC will make a contribution. Certainly the East African community is hoping that DRC will make a valuable contribution to their grouping.
All righty. Merci beaucoup. À la prochaine et bon weekend à toi, Jean-Jacques.
Également. Hein?
Merci.